Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles today to 1 Kings 17. I want to talk to you right along with the theme of what we've talked about today. I want to talk to you this morning about a survivor, about a giver today. I thought, what can we talk about? What can I talk about this year on Mother's Day? And then as the week began to unfold and I knew that Shelley was going to share her testimony and then we saw God do great things in the revival, I thought, we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about faith that proves victorious, faith that overcomes today. So I think men and women alike, I want you to be open this morning to what the Holy Spirit would say to you from this story. And I'm going to read several verses of Scripture starting in verse number 8 of 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. Well, he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." She said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering up a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare this for myself and my son, that we may eat of it and die." So Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. Then afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth." So she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. And the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Father, add your blessing to the reading of the word, I pray right now. Do those things that are needful in this place today, God. We pray that you would touch each of us. God, just add even more into what we've already been blessed with today, God. We just open to you that you would do a work in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a survivor. Here's a giver that we read about. And so three quick things that I want to share with you this morning about this woman that applies on Mother's Day and applies to each of us today. The first thing is, she had a relationship with God. Verse 9 says, "Elijah, I want you to go to a widow in Zarephath. Behold, I have already spoken to her about you. I've already talked to her about you." There was a relationship of some kind between this woman. It's not explained to us. We're not told how she came to talk to God or what the situation was, but we know the words of God say, "I've already spoken to her. I've prepared her for your coming. I've prepared her for this act of sacrifice that I'm going to ask." We know that Jesus even spoke about this in Luke chapter number 4. He says there were a lot of lepers in the land in that day, but it was only Naaman from Syria that was healed. And there were a lot of widows in the land in those days, but it was only this woman from Zarephath that Elijah was sent to. So this is a really marked thing that is really notable that happens here in her life. So we know that she knew who God was and she had heard his voice. And we know this, she had talked to God and knew his will. Let me tell you folks right now, if you don't hear anything else that this preacher says in these next few minutes, we need folks in the church today who know God, hear from God, and know what His will is. Amen. We need folks today that know for themselves what is God's will concerning you all. Amen. You need to know. Why? Because you'll hear one person telling you that God's will is this, and another person telling you God's will is something else, and turn on to five different preachers and you'll get five different messages. But you need to know. Now, if Elijah had just shown up at some poor widow's house and she was gathering up enough meal for one more food in the midst of a 3.5 year famine, and this man of God, and I use the quote fingers, shows up and says, "Hey, give me the last of what you have," we would look at him, down our nose, right, to think, he's going to come and do that? My goodness, what an imposition. But you see, it was because God had already spoken both to her and to him. I'm telling you, folks, when you know from God that you've already heard from the Lord, and then He shows up and gives you an opportunity to do something sacrificial, to do something big, to do something enormous, you've already heard from God, it's easier to just go ahead and give that sacrifice when you've already heard from the Lord. We've all been lied to. We know con men who operate, and go and they're looking to take advantage of somebody. How do you avoid that? You need to know God and you need to hear from Him and listen to what the Father has to say to you. It's very important that you know God's will for your life. So this woman knew God. She knew hardship. The story says that she was a widow. Not only was she a widow, but she was a widow in the midst of a 3.5 year famine. This woman was not living on easy street. She knew hard times. She had gone to the cupboard and knew there was enough to make just a little bit of bread. Enough to make just one more little bit of taste of bread for her and her son, and that was it. She didn't know where the next meal was coming from. She didn't know what was going to happen next. Folks, sometimes this old life gets us to that point where we don't know where the next bit of help is going to come from. Where's the next blessing going to come from? How are we going to make it? We've got bill collectors knocking at the door, or we've got problems in our relationships, problems in our marriages, problems with our kids, or whatever the case may be, and it looks like the cupboard's pretty bare. I've tried everything else that I know to do. I've gone to all my reserves, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and now I'm down to this one last thing. I'm down to my one last measure of flour and my one last measure of oil. Oh, let me tell you, folks, hard times are not new to God's people. But here, I want you to understand this. She not only knew God, she not only experienced hard times, but she knew how to work. Elijah found her out working, gathering up sticks to go in and make a fire and cook this one last meal, bake this one last bit of unleavened bread and prepare it there in her kitchen. She was out working. I want to tell you folks that is a good example for us. We need to know God. We understand that hardship is going to come, and we need to understand that God uses those that are willing to work, even in the midst of lack, even when things aren't turning up roses, even when life has thrown you some really hard times that, like this woman was going through, that we're willing to work, to get out there and to work and to do it even. Oh, Lord, we could just... Any of y'all ever had pity parties? Because I've had some pity parties over the years and sat down and just, oh, Lord, look at me. Look at what's going on in my life. Let me tell you, it's when we finally get up and say, God, I'm going to serve you in surplus. I'm going to serve you in lack. I'm going to serve you on the good day. I'm going to serve you on the bad day. It doesn't matter, God, what the circumstances are. That doesn't change the fact that I know you and that I'm going to serve you today, Lord. And I'll rejoice in the blessing, and I'll rejoice in my lack, because I know that in my lack, I'm just opening myself up for a brand new set of blessings that are going to come from your hand at the right time. If you look in verse 11 and 12, we understand that this woman had some fear and doubt. As she was gathering her sticks, Elijah says, "Give me some water," and she goes to get water, and then he says to her, "And make me something to eat as well." And she tells him, "I've only got just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. I'm gathering these things together so that me and the boy can eat it and die. Consider her situation. God had already spoken to her. You know, I wonder what his instructions to her were. Was it, I'm going to send somebody by that I want you to provide for? Had it been a day ago, a month ago? Had it been a couple of years ago? We don't know how long it had been since she heard the word of God until Elijah showed up. I tend to think that it had been a little while since she'd heard from the Lord. I think probably, and this is Travis, my interpretation, I think probably God had spoken to her and Elijah about the same time, and he's got a journey to where she is. So she'd had a period of time. It wasn't just immediate that Elijah shows up. Well, maybe God had spoken to her a long time before even. But can you imagine with me that God had said, somebody's going to show up and I'm going to provide and you're going to take care of them. They're going to need to be fed. This is my man, my prophet, and you're going to take care of him. And when you do, I'm going to take care of you. But she keeps watching her reserve of flour get lower and lower. She keeps watching the oil in her kitchen get lower and lower. Do you have a witness with that? Have you ever known that God has promised to take care of a financial need or to heal you or to do something in your life, and yet between the promise of God and the realization of that promise, there was a waiting period, and it seemed like your reserve of faith or hope just kept maybe getting drained a little. There's a little less money in the bank account. The relationship that you're wanting to be healed is even more broken and even more painful, and it seems like things are getting worse. And then suddenly, here's the man of God. Now, once again, this is just Travis's interpretation, so take it or leave it. But I kind of think the reason Elijah says to her first, can you give me some water? Is maybe he was a little bit like some of us would be, and we show up and we know this widow woman and we know the famine that's going on, and maybe we're still saying, God, now are you sure that I'm supposed to ask this woman to give me some food? Because it doesn't look like she's got very much, God. I didn't show up at the, you know, at the steakhouse, you know, where they got plenty. I'm here at this, are you sure? And so he asked her for some water. Just he's still, you know, and when she turns to go get the water, he says, oh, and by the way, could I have an Oreo? Could I have a little something to eat, by the way? You know, and so she says, you know, I'm struggling here because I don't have much. I'm fixing my last meal here. I'm down to the last. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. Folks, let me tell you something. When you've heard a word from the Lord, when God has spoken to you concerning His will, don't let doubt and fear rob you of God's blessing. Don't let doubt and fear. Sometimes it's not immediate that God does what He's promised you to do. Sometimes it takes a while before you realize the fullness of God's promise. Over a year ago, we know that we heard that that Mike Alverson was going to be healed and restored to the place of music ministry, and not just partially, but that God was going to bring him all the way back. Between hearing that word and seeing him here, we had some setbacks and some times it looked worse instead of better, and some times when it was like, okay, God, now I know what you said, but it's not what I'm seeing. That's just an example. That happens in our lives, doesn't it? Where we hear God promise something. Folks, I still believe that God spoke to me concerning Lake Hamilton Assembly of God when we were seeking His will about coming here as pastors, saying that God wanted to do a new thing and revive this church, and that we were going to see revival that wasn't just five meetings in May, but that was ongoing and continual. Well, you know, we haven't exactly seen that yet, but I believe the promise of the Lord, amen? I believe the word of the Lord, and I believe that it is coming into our church so that it can get into our community, and I'm holding on for that. But maybe God has said, I'm going to heal you of those headaches, or I'm going to heal you of that arthritis, or I'm going to touch your body from the diabetes, or I'm going to take that cancer out of your body. I'm going to touch you. And maybe you haven't seen the realization of that. Maybe God has spoken to you about your job and said, I know that you hate that job, and I know that it's hard, and I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to open another door for you. Maybe He's spoken to you about ministry opportunities ministries, to get out and to speak the name of Jesus into the lives of people that are out there needing to hear it. But it just hasn't happened yet. Can I tell you something right now? Don't give up in the hallway while you're waiting on the door to open. Don't give up. You keep standing on the promise that you've heard from God. You keep believing that God will do what God said that He will do. And at the right time, at the right moment, God is going to give you an oil and meal moment. At the right minute, God is going to open the right door when it needs to be opened. You just wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not grow weary. They're going to walk and not faint. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to wait on You. You know, the Scripture says that God wants to do good things for you. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness at all, neither shadow of turning. What does that say? It says God wants to give you good gifts. John 3:27, John said, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. What a wonderful promise. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Oh, I'm telling you, I serve a God that wants to give good gifts and wants to bless you and wants to do good things for you. But it's only in faith that we receive the good things from God. James 1:6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed about by every wind. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from God. We got to ask in faith. We prayed for Mike one night during the revival, and I tell you, I just fully expected while we were praying for him to see him go ahead and stand up, you know, and say, well, I don't need this chair anymore. You know, and one of these days, that's exactly what's going to happen. But while we were praying for him, well, Pastor, doesn't that dash your faith when you pray and that doesn't happen? Let me tell you, if I'm sick, if I'm in a tough spot, something that needs an absolute bona fide miracle, if you're going to pray for me, don't come and put your hand on me and pray for me unless you expect during that prayer that something's going to change. I want people to pray for me who expect, as a result of the prayer of faith, that God will heal the sick and do it right now, right? Isn't that our promise from God, that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? So, no, it doesn't discourage me in any way. I just say, okay, God, I wanted it instantaneous. Your time says, you know, it's going to be progressive, but one of these days, it's going to happen. And every time I pray for him, I expect Sister Lynn, when I'm praying in the morning, I expect either Mike or Lynn to call me and say, Pastor, you won't believe this, but it's done, it's done. One of these days, I'm going to get that phone call, amen? One of these days, we're going to celebrate together. But I'm telling you, I probably embarrassed him to death talking about him so much, but he's up here on the platform, so, you know, I'm sorry, brother. You're a captive audience. You can't get away. But when I pray for you and for your needs, Brother Gerald, for your granddaughters, when I'm praying for those girls, Sister Barbara, when I'm praying for your family, I'm expecting that the next time I hear from you, you're going to tell me that things have been a breakthrough and that God has done something good. If we cannot pray with faith, then we need to close our mouths and get in the closet and say, God, increase my faith so that I can touch you and believe for something good, because it is by faith that great works are done through our prayer life. You've got to believe. You've got to believe. Don't be like the woman that went to the service and heard the preacher talking about, if you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can command a mountain to be moved. And she went home and said, you know, if this big old mountain wasn't behind my house, I could see the ocean. So I'm just going to do what the preacher said. Mountain be moved. She went to bed, got up the next morning, went to the window, threw back the curtains, and said, yep, just what I expected. That mountain's still right there. Well, you know, as your faith is, so be it unto you. We've got to pray in faith, believing. And that is Matthew 9:29, where Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. So she had some doubts and fears, but even though she had doubts and fears, her faith was triumphant. Because if you read the end of that story, we find out that she went ahead and served Elijah as God had said and as the prophet had requested. She went ahead and did it. And we find out that her meal didn't run out and that her oil didn't run out. I don't know how it happened, but I kind of believe a lot of the preachers that I've heard preach this all my life, that just every time she put the scooper in the barrel to get some more meal, there was enough there. Every time she scooped it, there was enough. Every time she needed to pour some oil out of the cruse of oil, there was enough there. The scripture really isn't clear. It may have been that barrel, poof, was full, whatever she kept her meal in. Maybe God filled it up and kept it full, and she was always skimming off the top. You know, maybe the cruse of oil was just bubbling. There was so much in it just waiting to get out. What I know is this, and no speculation about it, God kept her supplied in meal and in oil until the famine was over because she was willing to surrender what she had and give it all into the care of the Master. She overcame because she proved to be faithful. God says to her, "Don't be afraid." Let me tell you, you have no reason to be afraid today. There is no reason to fear. Oh, but Pastor, they're talking about ISIS in every state. And oh, I've heard about this and I've heard about that. And what about the flu? And what about, you know, epidemics and terrorism? And what about the collapse of our economy? And what about, child of God, your economy in the kingdom of God is not dependent upon Wall Street, and it cannot crash if the terrorists attack. Your economy is stable forever and ever in heaven. And the scripture says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. We don't need to be in fear, but to have faith. Amen. Can I tell you that I know a story that I was told about when an older couple that were pastoring a real small church who gave the last couple of cans out of their cupboard, gave them away to somebody that needed food, and they gave it away. The church they were pastoring that week wasn't even able to give them a money offering that week because there wasn't any funds available. Didn't know exactly where. It was still a couple of weeks until this pastor's secular job paid him, but they trusted God. They gave that away on Sunday. On Monday morning, when this dear sister went out to her mailbox at the end of her driveway and opened it up, there was a letter. Opening up that letter, she found a check that had been sent to her. Praise God. But even greater than that is the fact that this came from a chaplain who was in the army, who was stationed somewhere in Germany, that God had spoken to long enough before the need. Can you hear me? That he searched and found God had given this man a name, and he had searched and found who they were and where they were and mailed that. Have you ever tried to send mail to somebody that's overseas in the military? It takes a while. It takes a while. They had mailed that early enough, however long it took, that on the day that the need was there, there was the check in the mailbox. I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid. Oh, you don't have to be afraid, because God will find a way to take care of you if you'll just have faith. You see, God says first. What am I talking about? He says in the story, don't fear, but first. But first, make me a little cake. First. What does God desire of us? John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandment. Hebrews 5 and 9, he became the source of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. First, do this thing. First, do you understand that if you are living surrendered to God, if you're living in obedience to God, there is no reason to have any fear, no matter what the devil or this world may do to you. You don't have to be afraid. That is the reason why on the night that Jesus was arrested and getting ready to be crucified, he could tell his disciples, okay, guys, I've been wanting you to pray with me tonight. You're too sleepy to pray. Go ahead and wake up. The evil one is coming. The God of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. I'm surrendered to the will of the Father. Let him do whatever he wants. I'm not afraid of him. He has nothing in me. I think sometimes we're in fear because we're afraid that some of those bad checks we've written are going to come back. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about the oats that we've sown, the wild seed that we've sown when we've sown to the flesh. And oh no, is this happening to me because of some of the things that I've done in the flesh, some of the seed that I've sown? Folks, if you'll just surrender to God, if you'll just submit to God, if you'll just do what He asks you to do, you don't have to fear. Because now you're a part of His family and He pays all the debts. Amen? He pays the debts. He paid a debt that He didn't owe because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And we needed somebody to wash our sins away. So the Son of God came to this earth and washed away our sin with the blood of Calvary. And now we don't have to fear when the devil comes knocking on the door because we've surrendered to the Lord, and we can just let the blood of Jesus answer the door for us and say, that debt has been canceled. It's over. It's done. I am redeemed by blood divine. Holy, holy. Christ is mine. Amen. I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid. God will lead you out of the problem. You see, this woman had a problem. She was out of food and it was a famine, and where am I going to get any more? What's going to happen? How did God lead her out? He showed her the first step. Oh, but God, I want to see the end of it. I want to see that new job. I want to see what my marriage is going to look like when you heal it. I want to see the healing at its end, at its completion. Huh? We say, Lord, I want to see the end. And God says, first, just do this first. Your first may be to write a check and put it into the ministry. Your first may be to open your mouth and witness to that person that God has had on your heart for a long time. Amen. Your first may be something that, you know, like, well, God, I would do that if I had assurance that it was going to turn out okay. God says, but first, go make me that little bit of cake. But first, just do the thing I'm asking you to do. Can I tell you one time, a long time ago, in my own testimony, I was in a church service. Everybody else that was there was just enjoying the service. God was blessing. And I was standing there just as dry and cold as could possibly be. God, what's going on? Everybody else that's here tonight is getting a blessing, and I'm here so cold. And what's going on? You know what was going on was God had called me a long time before that into the ministry, and I wasn't intending to do that. So finally I got to that point where there wasn't any more meal to scoop. There was no more oil to pour out. And I said, God, what do I got to do to get back to where I feel what those people are feeling? First, do what I told you to do. First, go down to that altar. Tell your pastor that you've been called to the ministry. First, do what I've already put on your... Has anybody got a witness with me? You know what I'm talking about here? It may be go to that hospital room and pray for that person. It might be write that letter, make that phone call. Man, I can tell you about a guy that was seeking the blessings of the Lord. God wasn't moving in his life. We were praying with him, trying to figure out what was going on. He'd been... A long story made very short. He had to write a letter to a sibling, a sister, that he hadn't spoken with in years and apologize to her. Write this letter, apologize for something that happened when Daddy died on the family farm back in Illinois way back several years before. They hadn't spoken. He wrote the letter, sent it in the mail. The next Sunday, he got the breakthrough that he'd been looking for. First, do what God's already put on your heart. I hope you understand where I'm coming from with that. Now, don't be like a friend of mine who is an evangelist said, he had a fellow in service, said, Pastor or preacher, I want you to pray with me. I want to receive the Holy Ghost this week. So this evangelist said, I'll tell you what, I will fast with you all week until you get the breakthrough, until you speak in tongues. I'll fast with you. So man, he preached on Sunday, preached on Sunday night, preached on Monday, you know, and he hasn't been eating. He's fasting, water-only fast with this guy. Yet all the way to Wednesday night, he's pretty weak physically, but the anointing helps him through the service. They pray for that guy one more time at the end of the service, and he says, man, they prayed, and it just didn't happen. And so He was sitting there kind of dejected. He said, I fasted for this, God, and it didn't happen, and I'm wore out, and this fellow still didn't receive, and what's going on? The old boy came walking up to him and said, well, preacher, you know, I believe if I'd have got rid of my tobacco at the beginning of the week like God told me to, I believe I'd have got the Holy Ghost this week. And he said, that's the last time I'm fasting for somebody else to get a breakthrough. What am I saying? Sometimes it's just do what God has asked you to do. And then God will provide the oil and the meal. Because I will tell you this, God will not fail. What Elijah said, God will not fail. Justin, you want to go ahead and prepare yourself for the baptism? Because I'm just closing up right here. And we're going to get ready. Brother Doug, do you need to go prepare as well? Y'all go ahead, and I'll meet you in the back in just a minute. God, let me look. I'm telling you, I'm using words from the story here. He says, don't fear. First, make me a cake. And then he says, God's not going to fail you. God's going to provide for you. In the rest of the story, that's exactly what we see. What God says, you can trust. They used to say, you can take it to the bank. What God says, you can trust. Men prove untruthful. Well, you've got to have a contract that's signed and notarized and recorded, and then a contract to back up the contract that you had, and you know, because people are just untruthful. Oh, but folks, every promise in your Bible is yes and amen. God will finish what He starts. So if you're asking God for the salvation of your children or your grandchildren, you stand on that word that you and your household shall be saved. You stand on it. You claim it. If you're asking God for healing, let me tell you something, folks. You're asking according to the will of God when you're praying for healing. God is a healer. And you stand on that word that by your stripes I am healed. You got a financial need, you stand on God's word that said, I will provide all of your needs according to my riches. You stand on it. Amen? And believe it. No matter what the bank account says and the world says, you stand on God's promise and He's going to take care of you. Amen. Whatever your need is, you find a scripture that addresses your need and you stand on it. Can I tell you one more quick illustration of standing on the word? There was a man in the very first church that I pastored who had lived as a heathen up until he's in his 40s. His adult children, when daddy got saved, didn't want anything to do with this new dad. They liked the dad they could come over and drink beer with and party with. They didn't want anything to do with this new dad. So one day, this brother and I were riding in his truck. And he says, you know, it's awfully hard. I don't get to speak to my boys. I don't get to see my grandbabies. They've just cut me off. It's awfully hard. And I said, Rondell, you know that God says, I will work all things together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And he said, I know that, but I just don't feel that way. Hey, I've been there. I know what the Word says, but I'm not feeling it right now. You can't always trust the emotions. You can't always trust the feelings. The prophet says that the heart is deceitful above all things and exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? But let me tell you, you can always trust God's Word. We stood upon the Scripture over his family. We stood upon the Scripture. And I very well remember the Father's Day before we left there, where Rondell, his two sons, and the grandkids were all in church together. Sometimes it takes a little while, but you stand on the Word of God. God is true to His Word. So let me close this out by saying, faith triumphs over trouble. Faith triumphs over trouble. Life brings trouble, but faith overcomes all of that trouble. Jesus will meet you right where you are. Do you have a relationship with Jesus today? Is he your Savior? If not, he'll meet you right where you are, right there. You don't have to travel to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to First Church, you know, big. No. He'll meet you right where you are. He'll meet you right where you are. All you've got to do is simply say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. And he'll meet you right where you are. Do you have doubts and fears today? Hey, we're human. Some days we're strong. Some days we have weak days. Some days doubt rises up in some of us. You know, do you have doubts and fears? You go to the Lord right in your doubt, right there when fear is knocking on the door. You go to the Lord and say, God, help me in my unbelief. Help me with my doubt, God. I don't want to be in fear. I want to live in faith. And he'll meet you right there at the point of your doubt, right there at the edge of your fear. And he'll give you hope and he'll help you make it through it. You can be triumphant in Jesus Christ today. God desires for you to be all for you that he was for that widow. Will you allow him to meet you at your point of need today? Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord, that if there's any here today in this service that do not know you as their Savior, that even right now you would meet them where they are. They would call out upon you and say, Lord, save me. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died for my sin and that by your death I can have eternal life. Forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me today. God, if they'll just pray a simple prayer of faith like that, you'll meet them right here. Lord, there may be some today who are struggling with doubt or fear or just simply holding on to faith because it's been so long since the problem started and they're waiting on the answer. God, I pray strength right now, overcoming power to bless them and help them to hold on another moment. Hold on just another moment, just another day. God, because joy comes in the morning and you're going to strengthen them and your promise will not fail if we'll just hold on. If we'll just hold on and stand by faith. Having done everything we can to stand, we're just going to stand on faith and trust you to do what's right every time. Lord, I just pray today that every need will be met, every sick body will be healed, every weak person will be encouraged today. Lord, that your blessing will be with each of us. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I told you earlier that I don't give gifts necessarily just to moms. And here's why. A number of years ago, Rhonda and I guess 6 years ago, went through a miscarriage. I know how bad that hurt. And I know some of you are here today dealing with a whole slew of different emotions that are running the gamut today. So I want to speak to the whole wide continuum of motherhood this morning. And I want to say, if there's anyone here or who will be listening to this on the internet later, you gave birth to your first child this year. I want you to know that we celebrate with you. And we give thanks to God for blessing you with new life. Maybe on the other hand, there are those who lost a child this year. And I want you to know that we mourn with you. And we want to encourage you to know that that child is in the arms of the Savior, and one of these days you can see that child and you can know the joy of experiencing that relationship in heaven. To those of you that are in the trenches of raising your children right now and you wear the badge of food stains upon your clothing, we appreciate you and we thank you and we pray for you that God will give you strength. For those that have gone through miscarriages or had adoptions that fell through, or had a child that ran away, we want you to know that we stand with you today and our prayers are with you and our hearts go out to you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, forgive us when we say foolish things because we don't mean to make this journey any harder on you than what it already is. And we bless you in the name of the Lord that God will give you grace for your need. To the foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you and we thank God for you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you.
and we bless you in the name of the Lord. To any of you who have experienced abuse at the hands of your own mothers, we acknowledge your pain, and we pray that God will grant you the same type of healing and release that Sister Willa spoke of earlier when she talked about forgiving herself and going on. We pray God will give you that kind of release from the wounds and the pain that people can't even see the scars, but you know they're there. To those of you who are single, long to be married, and mothering your own children, we acknowledge your pain and we pray that God, to use the words of our evangelist, that God will give you a Boaz and not a bozo. Amen. So that you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Step parents, thank you for taking on a family and stepping in as the role. That's hard and challenging. Be encouraged. You're doing a good thing. This Mother's Day, we walk with each of you. We understand that mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have some really real warriors in our midst. So I want to bless you, ladies, each of you. Father, from the youngest to the oldest of the ladies that are present in this place today, we bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just ask that you would cause your face to shine upon them and your countenance to rise upon them, God, they're blessed going out. Lord, from here today, they're blessed in their house, they're blessed in their jobs, they're blessed in their families. Lord, I'll say this. I will say I want them to prosper and be in health even as their souls prosper. In Jesus' name we ask it.